Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantanilayam, from the studios of Radio Sai. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and now it's time for bhajans. To learn bhajans, to sing bhajans, to understand bhajans, to relish bhajans, and to derive benefit and bliss from bhajans. On May 22nd, 23rd, 2013, there was a national bhajan workshop in Baba's Ashram in Whitefield, Bangalore, and there were representatives from all states of India who participated in this two-day conference. And on the final day, when I had the chance to demonstrate to them the bhajan resources we have on Radio Sai website and also this program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom, they were thrilled. Many did not know about this program's existence, and now they wanted to know more and make best use of this, because there is this need that is felt everywhere. All of us want to sing properly. We want to offer our best to the Lord, and we need the right guidance. And it is towards that end that we at Radio Sai want to be useful to all, and that is precisely the reason for this program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The power that bhajans have is simply tremendous. We have no clue of its therapeutic, purifying and energizing aspects. Those who participate in it wholeheartedly know how sublime is this welcome addiction. It just connects us to God, to bliss. So let's take every opportunity to learn and experience this bliss. And today, before we begin learning one more bhajan in this hour, let us first ruminate on him. Let us first offer our most loving and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of the Master of Masters of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we may never lose any opportunity to be an instrument of your love, of your glory and your music. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome dear listeners to yet another fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And today we are going to learn a bhajan dedicated to Hanuman, the humble servant of Lord Rama. The first line of this bhajan goes like this.
Prabhu Ramachandra ke duta Hanumanta Anjaneya.
So as always, we will begin by getting familiar with the lyrics, and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the beat, and then we will understand the meaning of every word of this composition, and in the end we will have a short conversation with Mr. Pratim Banerjee, a former student of Bhagwan's University who had the chance to sing in front of Bhagwan for over 7 years. So that is coming up towards the end of the program. Let's begin now with the lyrics.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D sharp pancham. Prabhu Ramachandra ke duta Hanumanta Anjaneya. Hanumanta, Hanumanta, Hanumanta Anjaneya. He Pavana Putra Hanumanta Bala Bhima Anjaneya. Bala Bhima, Bala Bhima, Bala Bhima Anjaneya.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow Brother Ravi Kumar every line. Dear listeners, you too please join Anirudh. It will really help you to get the flow of this bhajan.
P
प्रभु रामचंद्र के दूता हनुमंता आंजनेया।
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 हनुमंता 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 आंजनेया।
हनुमंता 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 आंजनेया।
हनुमंता 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 आंजनेया।
हनुमंता 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 आंजनेया।
हे पवन पुत्र हनुमंता बल भीमा 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 आंजनेया।
बल भीमा बल भीमा 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 बल भीमा आंजनेया।
प्रभु रामचंद्र के दूता हनुमंता आंजनेया।
So that was the tune of the bhajan in the voice of Ravi Kumar and Arvind Sai. And now, dear listeners, let us learn about the raga of this bhajan. And to explain to us the technicalities, the raga and the tala of this bhajan, we have with us now my colleague Anirudh. Welcome Anirudh to this program.
Thank you, Vishu.
So tell us about the composition of this bhajan.
This bhajan, Prabhu Ramachandra Ke Duta, it's a very melodious composition. In the raga Yaman. I think you'll be knowing this.
Yes, I think Yaman is a very familiar
raga. Very familiar raga, beautiful raga.
And we have so many bhajans in this raga.
Many bhajans, many popular compositions are there in this raga. Yes. It's called Yaman in Hindustani classical music.
Yes.
And it is called Kalyani in Carnatic music.
Yes.
Sare ga ma pa dha ni sa sa ni da pa Magaresa. This is the Carnatic way of rendition of the Arohana and Avarohana. You have Sare Shudhri.
Yes.
All the notes are similar to Shankarabharanam.
Yes.
Except the Madhyama.
Madhyama. Which is Tivrama.
Wow. Sare Ga Ma Pa Dha Ni Sa Za Ni Da Pa Ma Ga De Sa. Is Shankarabharanam.
Yes.
Sare Ga Ma.
Yes.
Pa Dha Ni Sa Ni Da Pa Ma Ga De Sa. This is Kalyani.
Yes.
Very simple.
Yeah, so give us a small demonstration of this raga.
Yeah, definitely.
Hindustani music, as they say, in the first prahar of the night.
Yeah, it is generally sung during that time.
Yeah, wonderful. So let us take this bhajan now, Anirudh, and if you can do the swaras for every line.
Yeah. Prabhu Ramachandra ke duta hanumanta anjaneya Sani sa ga 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 sa ga ma pa pa ma ga re re ga pa ga re sa Hanumanta 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 Anjaneya Sani sa ga 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 sa ga ma pa pa ma ga re re ga pa ga re sa He pavan putra hanumanta bal bhima anjaneya ga pa ni 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 da sa sa Sani da da ni ri ni pa pa ma ga Bal bhima Bal bhima Bal bhima Anjaneya Sani sa ga 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 za ga ma pa Pa ma ga re re
गपगरे सा बल बीमा बल बीमा बल बीमा आंजनेया सनि सगग गसगम पा पमगरे रे पापरे सा
Wonderful. And can we share with our listeners a few more bhajans in this raga? I know there are plenty. Maybe
yeah,
we can give a few.
Many bhajans in this Yaman raga.
Yes.
You have Panduranga Vithale Harinarayana Vigneshwara Gananath Gajanana Antarjot Jalasa
And you also have
Koti Pranam
yes.
Shata Koti Pranam
The classic
There are typical Yaman phrases in that bhajan
Yes
He Dinanath Sai Ram
Very beautiful composition in
yes.
Yaman Raga
I mean that is typically what yeah. is Yaman right Koti
yeah.
Pranam that bhajan And I think we have like that for every Raga you'll find one bhajan which is a typical
It is in the Raga
Yeah which yeah. is that is the way perhaps you can remember the Raga through
Correct.
The Sai bhajans
Correct
Yeah wonderful And the beat of the bhajan is the same 8 beat right
Yeah normal 8 beat Aditalam
Wonderful Thank you very much
Thank you Vishu Sai Ram
Now that we are familiar with the lyrics, the raga and the tala of this bhajan, let's move on to understanding the inner feeling with which we should render this bhajan to the Lord, how we can offer it to the Lord in the proper manner. And this aspect of bhajan singing is what is called bhava. To develop the bhava, we need to know what each word in the bhajan conveys. So let's start with the first line.
प्रभु रामचंद्र के दूता हनुमंता आंजनेया
द फर्स्ट वर्ड हियर इज प्रभु मीनिंग लॉर्ड रामचंद्र इज द सेकंड वर्ड विच कैन बी स्प्लिट इनटू रामा एंड चंद्र रामा रेफरिंग टू द इनकार्नेशन ऑफ गॉड In fact, this word Rama has several meanings, but literally it means the Lord who confers bliss on everyone. Ramyate iti Ramaha. Baba explains that the name Rama consists of three syllables, Ra, A and Ma. Ra signifies Agni or the fire god. A represents Surya or the sun god. And Ma represents Chandra, the moon god. The combination of these three letters constitute the name Rama. And the inner significance of this is Ra, which represents the fire god, can burn away our sins. A, representing the sun god, dispels the darkness of ignorance. And Ma, representing the moon god, cools our temper and produces tranquility. Thus the name Rama has the triple power of washing away one's sins, of removing one's ignorance and tranquilizing one's mind. Now coming to the other word which constitutes Ramachandra. Chandra. Chandra means the moon. And why is Lord Rama likened to the moon? In the Ramakatha Rasavahini, Bhagavan Baba explains the inner significance. He says, Ramachandra is as the moon which repels the burning heat and restores coolness and comfort to all. Baba says, Rama removes the pain caused by hate, malice, greed and envy. Hence, Ramachandra means the Lord whose very name is as refreshing and cool as the moon and confers lasting peace. Moving on, the third word is K meaning of and the fourth word Duta means messenger. Bhagwan says there are three classes of messengers. Adhama, Madhyama and Uttama. Adhama is one who does not understand the orders of the master or who does not care to understand what the master is trying to say. In fact, many times He does opposite to the instruction of the master. Next is Madhyama. in the second category. Such messengers do only just as much as the master asks them to do. They execute only that much as is asked of them. And the third category, Uttama, refers to those messengers who grasp the purpose and the significance of the master's orders and actually anticipate the needs of the master and carry them out unflinchingly, only for the sake of their master's well-being. And Baba says that Hanuman, the greatest devotee of Lord Rama, belongs to this last category because he not only carried out Rama's instructions to perfection in the right spirit, but also could use his intelligence, knowledge and power and undertake tasks anticipating what Rama's needs or expectations would be. And in fact, in the Ramayana, there are so many instances when it was Hanuman who actually rescued Rama and Lakshmana in that fearsome battle with the demonic forces. And this only goes to demonstrate to mankind how powerful is the devotee and his devotion. As Baba says, the devotion of a sincere devotee is actually more potent than the Lord himself, because the Lord becomes a servant of such a devotee. And Rama mentions how Hanuman always introduced himself as Dasoham Kaushalendrasya, which means I am a servant of Rama. That is my identity. That is my introduction. The position of a servant of Rama was a matter of pride and prestige for Hanuman, Baba explains. And the fifth word, Hanumanta, refers to this same Hanuman. The name Hanuman can be split as Hanu and Man. Hanu means jaw or chin, and Man means prominent. The name thus means the one with a prominent jaw. There is an interesting story in ancient Indian culture and spirituality about how Hanuman got this name. As a child, believing the sun to be a ripe mango, Hanuman pursued it in order to eat it. And the planet Rahu was also at that time seeking out the sun, and he clashed with Hanuman. Hanuman overpowered Rahu and went to take the sun from its abode. At this time, Rahu approached Indra, the king of the angels, the Devas, and complained that a monkey child stopped him and prevented a scheduled eclipse of the sun. This enraged Indra, who responded by throwing his thunderbolt, his Vajra, at Hanuman, which struck the jaw of Hanuman. Hanuman fell down to the earth and became unconscious. A permanent mark was left on his chin due to the impact of the Indra's thunderbolt, which is the Vajra, and thus he got the name Hanuman. Well, this is one of the stories from our ancient Puranas. Another interpretation is that Han plus Mana, where Han means destroyed or killed and Mana means pride. Hence the name implies the one who does not have any pride, the one who does not have any ego. So that is the literal significance of the name Hanuman. Moving on, the last word is Anjaneya, meaning the son of Anjani Devi. As many of us know, in the Ramayana, King Dasharatha had three wives, Kaushalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi. King Dasharatha was without children for a long time, and on the advice of elders, he performed a sacred sacrifice which would bestow the boon on him and his wives. And as the proceedings went on, a divine being rose from the sacrificial fire and presented a vessel with a sweet dish, ordering it to be distributed in equal share to the three queens. And Kaushalya and Kaikeyi had their shower and kept their cups safely in the shrine before going to dry their hair on the terrace. But Sumitra stepped onto the terrace, and keeping her cup on the short parapet wall, she dried her hair in the sun, and suddenly an eagle swooped down and carried off the vessel. She felt miserable, and when she shared this news with the other two queens, each gave her a portion from her own cup. And thus it was that Sumitra delivered the twins Lakshmana and Shatrughna, while Kaushalya and Kaikeyi gave birth to Rama and Bharata respectively. During the Ramanavami discourse of 2000, Bhagwan revealed what had happened to Sumitra's share of the pudding that was carried away by that eagle. he said that it was left on a mountain which Anjani Devi consumed, and as a result was born Hanuman. Therefore, Hanuman is truly of divine origin. So in this line, Prabhu Ramachandra Ke Duta, Hanumanta Anjaneya, we offer our loving salutations to the dedicated messenger of Lord Rama, the great Hanuman, the son of Anjani Devi. Let's move on to the second line.
Hanumanta, Hanumanta, Hanumanta Anjaneya.
The word Hanumanta appears thrice in this line, and the other word is Anjaneya. Baba once said, a devotee of God must be prepared to undertake any service, however mighty the task may be. And during the Samashas delivered in 2002, Swami narrated how Hanuman took up any task as his life breath. At the time of the battle with the demon, when Lakshmana fainted, Rama lamented that if I search, I may find a wife like Sita, I may even find a mother like Kausalya, but a brother like Lakshmana can never be found. And at that time, it was Hanuman who sought Rama's permission to fly to the Himalayas and overnight bring the Sanjeevani herb which could restore Lakshmana's life. And he did this in an amazing manner. And not to lose any time in identifying the herb, he just carried the whole mountain. Another instance is when Hanuman was flying to Lanka in search of Sita, when the undersea mountain Mainaka rose to offer shelter and some rest to Hanuman as he was undertaking such a long journey to Lanka. Hanuman on that occasion politely refused the offer, saying to take rest when engaged in Rama's work is a sin. Such is his devotion to the Lord's work. And here is another incident shared by a Sai devotee, Mr. Whelan from the Far East. During the Chinese New Year celebrations in 2005 in Prashantinilam, Mr. Whelan was blessed to speak in the divine presence of Bhagwan. He explained that in the early 80s, Swami had given him his first interview and had asked him, "Who are you?" And Mr. Whelan replied that he was an engineer. From then on, Swami kept calling him Englin. This is how he heard the name. It was something like Anjalin or Englin. He didn't really get it. He could never understand what Swami was trying to tell him or how Swami was actually addressing him. He felt that Swami was trying to pun on the word engineer. Later, he went back to his hometown and involved himself in various service activities, especially visiting old age homes, orphanages, etc. He followed Bhagwan's dictum that the best way to serve is to set an example to others. And during those years, he felt that Swami had referred to him as Englin because he was doing activities which belonged to the realm of angels. But even then, it was not very clear to him what exactly Swami meant. In 2005, when he came to Prashantinilam, Swami called him for an interview, and again Bhagwan asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "Swami, my name is Whelan." Swami again asked him, "What is your other name?" So to this, Mr. Whelan very spontaneously replied, "Swami, Hanuman Das. I am the servant of Hanuman." And he continued, "Swami, I want to go to Lanka and help in providing food to the tsunami victims there." To this, Bhagwan smiled and said, "Ah, Sri Lanka." And the next evening, as Mr. Whelan sat in the mandir for bhajans, the students started singing a Hanuman bhajan, Anjaneya Veera Hanumanta Sura. And as Mr. Whelan listened to this bhajan, suddenly the word Anjaneya struck him like a thunderbolt. He realized that this was the very word by which Bhagwan had called him 24 years back. But at that time, he had not understood what Bhagwan was calling him. He didn't really get that word Anjaneya, and what came to him at that time was Englin. It was not a pun on the word engineer. And when Mr. Whelan realized this, he was really dumbfounded, and he was at the same time filled with joy and thrill. Swami always associated service and the people who serve him with dedication with Hanuman, and that is the reason why he has placed the Hanuman statue on top of all the other deities in the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium. So in this line, Hanumanta, Hanumanta, Hanumanta Anjaneya, we glorify the devoted servant of Lord Rama, Hanuman, who is the son of Mother Anjani Devi. Let's move on to the third line.
He Pavana Putra Hanumanta Balabhima Anjaneya.
The first word here is He, which is a manner of calling out to a person. The second word is Pavana, referring to the wind god. And the third word is Putra, meaning son. Thus the phrase Pavana Putra refers to Hanuman being the son of wind god. Since the wind god carried the pudding to Mother Anjani Devi, Hanuman is also called as the son of the wind god. The fourth word is Hanumanta, which we already know, and the fifth word is Bala Bhima, coming from Bala meaning strong or strength, and Bhima referring to one of the five Pandava brothers, Bhima from the Dwapara Yuga. Among the five brothers, Bhima was endowed with great strength, especially physical strength. Thus Bala Bhima means the one who is as strong as Bhima. And why is Hanuman's strength compared to that of Bhima? When a messenger had to be selected for the mission of crossing the ocean and tracing the whereabouts of Mother Sita, Lord Rama asked Hanuman, "Can you go and successfully return after finding out where Sita is?" And Hanuman replied, "Yes, I shall do it." Rama then asked, "Hanuman, you have had no experience of jumping across such a vast sea. You have never even seen Sita earlier. Then how do you say so confidently that you can actually cross the mighty ocean in search of Sita and find her and return successfully?" Then Hanuman, in all humility, says, "O Lord, would you not give me the needed strength, capacities and abilities to fulfill the mission you assigned to me? With your blessings and invincible will, would I not be able to accomplish what I am supposed to? When you assign me a task, I am completely sure and confident that you would give me the needed intelligence and energy." Such was the intensity of devotion of the servant of the Lord. And Bhagwan elaborated on this during the summer course discourse in 1977 and said, when any order was given to Hanuman, he never questioned whether he had the strength or the capacity to fulfill the task. He had the firm faith that the very orders of Rama will give him the necessary strength to fulfill those tasks. And there lies a deep lesson for each one of us who is engaged in the Lord's work. Therefore, in this line, "He Pavana Putra Hanumanta Balabhima Anjaneya," we hail Hanuman, the mighty son of the wind god, the one who is the epitome of physical valor, the one who is the son of Anjani Devi, the greatest of the devotees of Lord Rama. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Balabhima, Balabhima, Balabhima Anjaneya.
Again, we are familiar with this line wherein we pay our respects to the mighty Hanuman, the son of Mother Anjani. So with this, dear listeners, we are done with gaining at least a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. There is so much to it, and the more we ruminate on it, beautiful insights will emerge and there is no end to it. With this understanding, let's now proceed to listen to this complete version of this bhajan, and as we sing this, let's picturize the Lord and His servant in our mind's eye. You will now listen to the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan.
चंद्र के दूता हनुमंता आंजनेया हनुमंता आंजनेया bhala bhima bhala bhima bhala bhima aajaiya चंद्र के दूता हनुमंता आंजनेया हनुमंता 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 आंजनेया
And now after the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan, let's listen to a conversation with a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group, Mr. Pratim Banerjee, a former student of Bhagwan's University who had the chance to study at Bhagwan's lotus feet for 9 years, right from his 11th class through his graduation, post-graduation and later his double post-graduation. He did his MBA after his MSc in mathematics, and Pratim is a multi-talented personality, excellent singer, actor, speaker, sportsperson. So let's listen to his moments of divine interaction and guidance. Wonderful. And that's what being in bhajan group does so much to you, much more than you can imagine, in the sense that it's not that what happens in terms of your skills, in terms of, you know, you becoming a better singer or having a better voice, but I think what happens to you as a person is much, much more than what happens to your voice or, you know, how better you become a singer.
And you really become, you know, the mouthpiece of Bhagwan. As in, I've realized that by being part of these cultural programs in Mandir, by being part of the bhajan group, you never know. You might just think I'm singing this particular bhajan, but what connect that bhajan has between Swami and his devotee?
Yes.
I've heard from one of my friends that he was just narrating, you know, he was just delivering a dialogue in a drama, and that dialogue had such an impression on another person that he averted his decision to commit suicide.
Oh my God.
And this, my friend got to know once he went back to his native place. That person went up to him and he said, "Did you not say this in Mandir?" So, and because of, you know, having acted in so many dramas, that boy was wondering, "When did I say this?" And then he told him, "In this particular drama, this particular day in front of Bhagwan, when you all performed, you gave this dialogue, you know." And because of that, it was like a direct message from Swami to me, which kind of made me change my decision, made me change my perspective towards life. So we never know. It could just be a bhajan, it could just be a word that echoes or that comes out from the speakers of Kulwant Hall, but it can have such an impact on somebody's life.
Yes. In fact, and that is the reason why, you know, Swami always wanted the singers to think that, you know, they are only a conduit for the prayers of so many. You can never ever think that you are anything other than that.
Other than that.
So how was it after we came to the Prashantanam campus and continuing to sing? Now we had become sort of more familiar with bhajans and experienced singer.
Yes, I mean, Swami used to give a lot of gestures and used to appreciate by looks, you know, by his hand movements at times.
He's constantly looking at Swami. Yeah. I think there are many moments when Swami would communicate something to the bhajan group and which only the bhajan group can understand. Because it is those very, very small non-verbal communications of Bhagwan, you know. It would be just a slight movement of the eye or a slight movement of a finger. And you know, I think that's a common experience for all devotees. Bhajans are going on and suddenly why a kawali starts? Mm-hmm. Swami is not asked for a kawali. Why are these guys singing a kawali? But only that guy knows.
Exactly.
And Swami knows. I mean, the communication that happens in the bhajan group with Swami is something phenomenal, isn't it?
Yes. Okay, at this point in time, I'm getting reminded of another experience. As in, what had happened was, at the 85th birthday, I think there was this program called Prema Pravaham. My parents were a bit hurt that, you know, why everybody was there on the stage, why wasn't our son there. And I had taken it in my stride and pretty much
accepted
forgotten.
Accepted as his will. Yeah.
But then, I think it was the day when Swami gave his last darshan in public. So I remember Swami was coming in, and in those days when Swami used to come in on a wheelchair, as in they used to lower down the volume, mic volume, because Swami had, his voice had become very feeble.
Yes.
So as Swami was entering, I was singing a song, and my parents were there in the hall, and both my parents simultaneously, later on I got to know, as the volume was lowered, they were telling Swami that, Swami, our son is singing for you, but you're not listening. The volume has been lowered.
Okay.
So when Swami came up that day, if you remember, I'm sure, Swami gave two rounds of darshan.
Yes.
And then when he went up on the dais, he sat there for quite some time. And he appeared very, you know, happy, and he was very lively that day. So sitting there, and bhajan group size had also increased considerably.
Yes.
By that time, because of, you know, the long waiting hours for Swami. And having had to sing for like 4 hours at times, four and a half hours. So, getting another chance was a remote, you know, possibility. But my parents sitting there, they were praying that, Swami, please give our son another chance to sing for you. And suddenly, out of the blue, Swami, he sat for quite some time. I got a chance to sing Kalatitaya.
Okay.
And that happened to be the last bhajan in public that day. And it was such an apt bhajan, Kalatitaya, one who's beyond
that
time.
That is the last bhajan.
Last bhajan.
In public, in Swami's physical presence?
Yes. So,
wow, what
a
blessing.
And I remember after that, when Swami, you know, got subsequently hospitalized, and that is when the thing finally sunk in. My parents said, see, Swami didn't give you a chance then, but he made it so special. The last, you know, voice that he heard in public was yours. So,
and it's such an apt bhajan.
Such an apt bhajan. That is what, when I look back now, I say, of course, he is that. Even now, if we are able to feel his presence all across the globe, in many ways more than ever, then it's because he is Kalatitaya. He is not bound by time. He is not bound by form or nature.
I mean, all the time when Bhagavan was saying that I am with you, around you, above you, below you, obviously you are not referring to his physical form.
Yes.
But you experience that even more now.
More now.
Wonderful. And finally, two questions. As we were talking, you know, being in bhajan group, may I ask you how it has shaped you? I mean, shaped your thinking, shaped your personality, shaped your approach to life. Has it in any way affected, apart from, you know, honing your skills?
Yes, or I think.
Has it given you a new approach to music?
Yeah, music has become more like an offering to divine now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that finally, when you're making an offering to him, not just a song, maybe if you're writing something, maybe if you're working in office, that 8 hours that you slog out in office, when you offer that to him, you would not hesitate from giving your best shot to it. It might not be the best when you compare to others, but it would definitely be your best.
Yes.
And in my short career of 1 year, whatever training I've had
with the Tata Advisory Service.
So I have seen that also, you know, because that stands out, you know, that 8 hour period when you say, Swami, before starting anything, I'm offering it to you. He takes over and things just fall in place. So that is one perspective that has, you know, entirely changed. Though, honestly, I have never been that, you know, extensively, I have not practiced that much, I have not learned much music. But whatever little I do it as an offering to him and try to give it my best shot. And then many times it has just happened that after programs and all, people have come up and said it was good. Why was it good? Because, not because I have worked hard or I have done anything special or that I am all that good, but just because it was with a pure feeling and with a, you know, intent of making it correct or making it sound good.
Yes. I think that really makes a huge difference in the way people also perceive that whole experience of singing. So that was Pratim Banerjee, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who at the time of recording this conversation in June 2013 was moving to United Kingdom on an assignment to work in Tata Steel. By Bhagwan's grace, he got selected in 2012 for TAS, that is the Tata Group's Premier Leadership Program, and now is being groomed for the Tata Group. So with that, we've come to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed it. Please do send us your feedback and suggestions. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The sound engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background music was done by another alumnus, T.S. Ramakrishnan from Chennai. With grateful hearts, we place this humble offering at the lotus feet of our beloved Master, Bhagwan Baba. So with this, it's time to conclude this segment of Thursday Live from the studios of Radio Sai. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and Prem and Sai Prakash are waiting to take over for our next program, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. They are going to engage you for an hour discussing and dwelling on Bhagwan's discourses, and I will be back again after they are done at around 8:35, and then we will have yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. And today we are going to discuss about how the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School is an amazing experiment where the ancient Gurukula system has been replicated and very beautifully, suitably adapted for the modern times. The Gurukula for the modern century. And four very senior teachers of the Higher Secondary School will be joining us in this panel discussion. It is going to be really an enriching experience. So that is coming up 1 hour from now. For the present, enjoy Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam with Prem and Sai Prakash. Thank you. Sai Ram.